be good to tease Jason because he's on air and he never is on air, right? And from his perspective, perhaps what was most challenging
rewarding. I need a really big introduction, though. Like, just, you know, my personality requires my ego. I'll just say my ego requires.
What is it?
Welcome to episode 1, season 2 of Project Good Food. I am one of your co-hosts, Brandon S. Johnson, here with our executive director, Diane Moss, and our design and communications consultant for the last few years, Jason Cardenas. How are we doing, everyone?
Doing good.
We're good.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know about a few years. I seem like I've known Jason forever.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been. It's been a very long time.
I'd actually like to know how Jason joined Project New Village and got into your life, Ms. Moss.
You go right ahead. I'll fill in if you leave anything out.
So I met Diane actually at a community work day. So my wife, Jessie, she's with Arboretta Group, and they were working with Project New Village. And so she wanted, you know, the whole family to go out to a community work day at Mount Hope Community Garden. And I just kind of fell in love with the place, and I fell in love with everyone there and the energy that was there. And so anyway, I was doing graphic design on the side. Ms. Moss said that they needed to kind of rebrand and redo the logo. And I was like, I would love to help you with that. Let's talk. And it just kind of blossomed from there into, hey, how about a website? Hey, how about this? Hey, about, you know, how about that? And I feel like, there was a lot of stuff. I wanted to help as much as possible. So I never said no. So anything that needed to be done, I'm like, I can do that. Yeah, let's do this. And so it kind of formed a pretty good team, I would say, from the get-go. Yeah. And that was what, 2018?
Years. I just know he has a lot of talents. He brings a lot of things to the table. He's also a musician, and he does things in terms of construction work. I mean, jack of all trades,
master of none.
So he came out, he had that conversation with you. What endeared you to him to say, you know what, let's work together long term?
Well, I liked his work and his enthusiasm. He just, it's like he liked doing what he was doing. He was good at it. We didn't argue. I don't think we've ever had like a serious don't talk to you afterwards kind of argument. So I like him as a human, and then he has talent and he shows up. Can't ask for more.
Perfect. So Jason does our design communications, our logo. He is responsible for Summerfest, our flyers. He's a musician. And also for the last year, you have edited and recorded this here podcast.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how that came about and the origins of that.
So that was a long time in the making. If I remember correctly, I think we talked about it. I feel like maybe it was around, 2021, something like that.
I knew it was during COVID because we were out in the garden. People had things to say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was just, you know, it came about because it was an idea of like, there were all these really wonderful conversations, insightful things being said. You know, I'd come to meetings with Ms. Moss and Tambuzi when he was here, and there were so many times I would walk away from those conversations and say, I wish everyone could hear, you know, what they're planning, how they talk, how they, you know, like what this means. There was just so much energy and enthusiasm and great ideas and just kind of mind blowing perspectives happening. And it was like, I wanted to find a channel to get those ideas out. And I, you know, so we kicked around the different ideas, but it was like a podcast to me was a very simple way of just getting, you know, words to people so you could hear these, the ideas and all the great work that was being done. And in the nonprofit world, it's always kind of, you know, it's low budget, high concept is the goal. So podcasting was a no-brainer when it came to that. It was just, you know, you had to get the equipment and then just go for it. But we, you know, it took a while. We kicked around ideas for a long time. Before I think we kind of put it to rest because, you know, we're just busy with other things, but it came back up, I think, in, so last year, at the beginning of last year, 2024, we started talking about it again. And then it took a few months to kind of put everything together. And we had already bought some of the equipment, but we just kind of shelved it. So we were ready to go. It was just like, okay, let's put it back on the table. I think we're ready. We have some team members that can really make this happen. Brandon, yourself included, you were one of those people where we're like, okay, we have the personalities. We have the people on board who can actually, you know, fly this plane. So let's get it going again. And I'm so glad that we did.
Wonderful.
Can I say, too, part of the energy, I met Tom Boozy as a teenager. His major at UCSD was communications. He was the best storyteller. Mm. He could write really well. So we started this the month of his birthday in celebration of his legacy. Our very first episode was The Legacy of Tom Boozy.
That's right.
With Project New Village, but for the greater San Diego and our community. And I think that that was a push. I wasn't always on board with the podcast. It seemed like one more thing to do. But we wanted a way that we could get out to people, and we wanted to tell our story. So with Jason's skills and I guess some motivation from Tom Boozy, we started in August last year.
I'm really glad that that was the inaugural episode, because I think the enthusiasm about that discussion about someone like a powerhouse like Tom Boozy was, and his whole, you know, the kind of legacy he's left behind, you could tell everyone talking about him and how much he meant and the history of PNV, it meant a lot to everybody at the table. And that, to me, I knew that first episode had to be a special one, because if it wasn't, there might not be another episode, right? And I feel like that one kind of just hit all the feels, if you will. Like, I feel like it was very easy to put together. Everyone was happy to do it. It was an enthusiastic conversation. And even putting it together after the editing, the post stuff was just, it was so easy to do. But yeah, no, that I think that was the right choice.
Also special, we were allowed to bring in two board members, a past president of the board and a current board member. All of them had history with Tom Boozy and were very excited and brought their perspectives to the table. It was really good. And even the second episode, I'm just getting all into this, was another board member. Early on with the podcast series, we had two board members. Both of them passed away, you know, in the last few years. One in 22, Tom Boozy, and the other in 23. That would have been Daniel Hernandez. And so the second podcast was in September, because that was Daniel's birthday. And his was a legacy of activism. There's a big mural of him in San Ysidro, I think, at the... Center. We have it here in our office as well. It's a tribute to his life and everything that he brought to the table. So in thinking of them, it kind of helped us spur this on. Good energy.
You know, podcasts are great because they cement moments in time. These episodes you've done, these stories, anecdotes, these things you guys are remembering, they'll now live forever. You've got this encapsulated, these stories and these different people we've interacted with. So it makes me curious, from episode one, when you were essentially probably a little fumbling around with the first episode, what has the evolution been like in getting the podcast through an entire season? Were there any challenges? Some of your favorite moments.
I can speak to, well, as far as each episode has been so different, right? And not only from the subject matter, but also in situations that we're operating in. You know, for the most part, we do them here at the PNV office, and it's set up and go. But, like, I remember the third episode we did was a live episode in front of, I think, the gathering for San Diego Food System Alliance. And this was like a big room, and it was like having to work with a sound person that was working that room as well as five other rooms. So there was a lot of stress happening at this big thing. And, you know, that was another great conversation. That was, I think, Dr. Derek Robinson. And for a live podcast, it was like, okay, we got third one out of the gates. We got to do this correctly. But I feel like every episode has this its own flavor. You know, it kind of deals with its own subject matter, and all the guests are fantastic. I think the thing that makes it special is that it's these unique perspectives, and it's just a very casual, comfortable conversation about it. So there's no pressure, and everyone's talking about something they're already passionate about, and you can kind of feel that. And you walk away with information that you wouldn't, you know, normally have possessed otherwise, unless you had this conversation with someone. So I think that's the goal. But yeah, it's been a ride. I think we're continuing to evolve with it.
So for me, what it's been is a different way to get the message out about the Good Food District. Mm. That's the initiative that we're working on. We coined that phrase, if you will. And when I look at every episode, it has something to do with defining moments in the Good Food District. Everyone has a role to play, be it a resident, be it a grower of food, right? That you have a perspective on food. Food is essential. We all need it to live. And people bring different stories. I'm thinking of Roxanne.
Yeah.
She brings a lot of energy to the table, but her whole message is on clean food. Easy to do, doesn't cost a lot of food, and how it makes her feel. And a woman in her 70s with her energy, she's a testimony of what good food can do, right? So a lot of messaging around good food. And our angle on that is really urban agriculture. We're a placemaking initiative trying to change the area where we live, but to make it into a good food district. You know, we're thinking next of putting a board game together so that we can talk about the elements present in a good food district.
Speaking of the board game, that makes me want to get into some of the future plans of Project New Village as we move into our next phase in the year. What's next for Project New Village? I know a little bit. I'd love to hear what you guys are excited about as well.
So, yeah, I think the next event we have planned is going to be in October, which is the Food Justice Soiree. It celebrates National Food Day. I believe it's October 24th. But so we do it on a Tuesday night. So it's going to be the 21st this year, I believe. But that's a fantastic just kind of event at the garden. We call it a friend raiser because it's more about people coming to the garden and being able to experience that setting at night and doing it in a way that you're meeting with neighbors and people in the community. And we usually have live music. We have specialty cocktails being made with certain things grown at the garden and whatnot. And yeah, and usually just some really good food. It's a great time.
Wonderful. What about you? What are you excited about, Ms. Moss?
There's a lot of things, but following the Food Justice Soiree is Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, in our work, we get to lift up those people who are forerunners in the food justice movement, and she was one. So in December, we celebrate her legacy, right? We go out somewhere. This year, we're hoping to get a chef to come in and help us make a fantastic serving of food, if you will. We bring music, and we have a good time. This is the way that we end the year. And I should also say this year is particular because, you know, we're in this capital campaign so that we can bring in the dollars that we need to finish the village or our food hub development project. So both of those are things that I'm looking for this year and years to come, right? This is an annual event.
We do so many good events at Project New Village. I just was looking at my flyer for our Mardi Gras event, which I loved. We just had a successful Summerfest, which just passed. You two were at the helm. I was there. I got to bring my family out, my wife, my kids, and learned so much in just that little time. She's been talking ever since back home about, okay, I got to make sure I walk. What things am I doing to move my body? Am I drinking enough water? Really caring about our health just from that experience at Summerfest. And I think it was successful. Any challenges, or do you think this turned out well as far as they go?
I was extremely happy with this year. And I feel like the vendors are a big part of that. It was a wonderful mix of different vendors in the community. And I feel like the people that we have a wellness stage with presentations and different like movement workshops and whatnot. Those were all fantastic this year. But it was an energy. I felt it from, you know, I get there pretty early in the morning to set up. And, you know, usually there's a lot of stress with an event like that until it gets going. And then you kind of get your sea legs, if you will, and everything goes smooth. This year, it was from the get-go, just, I think, positive energy. And I feel like we had a great team of not only the Project New Village staff, but the volunteers that showed up to help. And a lot of them, I'm going to call out one by name, Jordan, if you're listening, he helps every year. And he can basically run the show, I think, if we needed him to. But he is, you know, people like Jordan, our core volunteers, they just show up and they know what to do and they know how to help. And it really makes this kind of event so easy that you can just sit back and kind of enjoy it as it's going too. You don't have to stress about anything. But yeah, this year was fantastic. We had a great turnout and it seemed like everyone had a good time.
I think each year it's gotten better. When we started this, we had just gotten the mobile farmers market. We didn't have a permit, so we couldn't stock it. We just brought the truck out there because it looked really good, right? To say this is coming. And since then, the truck has gotten popular. Truck has a route. In fact, we had to take the truck from where it normally is and bring it here because people expected it to be at our event. So this event, I think it was our fourth. Mm-hmm. It's been the best yet. Like you said, the right blend of vendors. We had enough volunteers this year. I really want to highlight Jason in terms of we try to serve a healthy, something healthy during this, and we have a relationship with Fresheria, but Jason even made that relation even more special this year. He asked them to do us a favor. They did it, you know, in terms of what they served, how they served it. But not only that, they went further and they used their platform, their virtual kinds of things to promote what we were doing. They have a shop right here in our neighborhood in the Good Food District. This is the beginning of the next part of our journey with them because everything that they cook, everything that they prepare is fruits and vegetables. So I think that we have a stronger relationship with them, and I think they had a lot to do with Jason changing the agenda this year.
Well, you know, we have worked with them quite a bit in the past, and their food is always fantastic. And it's like, it's perfect for these kind of, especially a wellness event where you want a lot of really fresh, like vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. But yeah, I agree. This year, it seems like there was a lot more like a partnership with them. And it makes me very excited to hopefully, you know, we can explore that some more because I'm very happy to have their food at these events.
And I think we've always had this at ECC, but this year we changed the spot at ECC, and I think it made a difference. I think those eucalyptus trees in the front, how many there were, we didn't even have to use that many canopies. It was a natural, wonderful day in terms of weather. Then you had these trees doing what they do, smelling well and giving us some shade. And all I know is next year we're going to have intentionally more relaxation areas. We always have a person that does massages, but this year we're thinking we need some, what do you call those?
Big hammocks.
Hammocks out there so people can really get in a relaxed zone because Christopher, he was a wonderful performer, closed it out with a really acoustic, mellow kind of feel-good message leaving. All of the folks on the wellness stage were phenomenal folks in what they bring in terms of movement matters or the Tai Chi or Qigong, all of this was, you could come and there was no cost. And I could see people just smiling and just, everyone had positive things to say. You leave there feeling good and it's not too long of a day. So it's just enough and you can go ahead and do the other things in your day. It was a highlight on a lot of levels.
What is the feeling you two get when you work so hard to put on an event like this, all the moving pieces, and then you're sitting back and it's happening or it's done. And you realize you were able to actually execute such a beautiful thing for the community. And so much labor and love has been put into it. How do you feel when that's completed?
You know, it's, you're a bit exhausted, but you don't even really feel that because it's like, you're just walking on a cloud. Like I leave these things with such a positive, like mind frame and just, it really is, and I've said this before about like the community work days at the garden. It's the same exact feeling. Doesn't matter what kind of mood you're in as you're traveling there. When you leave there, you are always in a good mood. And it does not matter. Like there's something about that space. And with the events, I feel the same way. It's the connecting with community members. It's, you know, networking with people that are doing similar things. It's everyone's energy all together kind of in the same direction of like just trying to uplift community and helping neighbors, and it's wonderful. So I mean, I'm addicted to it. even if it's a struggle sometimes with the work, but like it is always worth it. Always.
I don't know. I feel a sense of satisfaction. I get to work with my neighbors. I'm in my neighborhood, so it's good people, good things, and a good place. I like ECC. I think that also we should mention we had wonderful sponsors this year. Mm. You know, the head sponsor would have been Previs, right? We have a grant that I think we call it Journey into Wellness. So that was the wellness stage and some of the food. ECC was a wonderful partner and host. Mm. It just, everybody did what they were supposed to do. Bad for the people who missed it. It was the place to be on last Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I see it scaling from this last event. Yeah. A lot easier. I think before it was good before, but I felt like we had certain limitations space-wise and how we were kind of operating. And this year I was like, oh, this can get big. Like this, maybe I don't know if I should be saying this, but I see this thing scaling. I see more vendors. I see like taking over more space. I, you know, maybe even adding another stage, you know, and hammocks, the wellness space with the hammocks. Just saying, it's a great idea.
Yeah. You know, when you think of health fairs, you think of really prevention kinds of things. You think of blood pressure screenings. And we might have had someone doing blood pressure screenings. Mm-hmm. But instead, we had people with dirt, with your hands in the dirt, and what we can do in terms of stewardship of the planet. I think one of the booths that was the most exciting, so we got to look at them, even with this village that we're talking about, is Bees and Teas.
Mm-hmm. Bees and Teas Apothecary. Man.
Talk about that. Those folks. I mean, we have a student, right? And she was talking about it was reasonably priced. Her mom went with her, and she was excited about this particular booth and the teas there and the blends of teas. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking.
I have two jars of her honey at home now, and I think you got a habanero, Jason. Habanero honey.
I did. I can't stop eating it.
Is this her? Was this her first year?
Yeah.
Tell me how that came about, and what was your experience at her table?
You know, teas. I found out after the fact she was friends with another vendor that we already had, but she had sent us a message, and it was kind of, I think, the week before the event. I think it was a message like on Instagram, and I had missed it. And so Ian Moreland on our team, he brought it up at a team meeting because he was checking the Instagram messages. And he said, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a person called Bees and Teas Apothecary, and they do all these products. And it just, I wasn't, the week before, it's hard because you want to let everybody in. But at the same time, it's like you kind of have your set format. And if it's a few days before the event, you don't want to let just anybody jump on board. It just depends. But that for sure, when I saw and I checked out her business, and it was like, yeah, it's a no brainer. We got to have her. So I'm so glad that we did make that last minute ad. But yeah, no, it was just a random kind of reach out on social media.
Hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. It's interesting how our community has so much going on, and it you don't always know about it. But I'm really honored to be part of this organization, because how rare is it to get to work in a space where this is your day? This is what you get to do. You're not in some corporate America trying to make money for some big pharma that you don't believe in. You're out here putting honey in kids' hands. And I've been to health fairs where it's mostly tests and things, but very rarely my seed. Kids both got to put a seed into a pot and take it home. That's a different type of health fair. And so if Summerfest is the Summerfest that just passed is our present, and we even talked about Tom Boozy and starting our podcast with him, and that being somewhat of the past, as I look at this image here of the spirit of Sankofa and the future of Project New Village, we mentioned the hub a few times, the village and the hub. I would like you to share more, a little bit about that, and also what we can do in our community and how our community can help us a little bit bring this vision to life.
I want to make one more note on the Summerfest, and then I'll get right to that.
We didn't talk
about that pottery booth.
Oh, yeah.
The ECC pottery program, they bring all their products out, and they really have a wheel right there so that you can see how these things are made. That went over really well too, I think, from our perspective, but they like it as well. They get excited before the event, and it was a real high point.
I saw a few people with her with that pottery ready. Did you get it some as well?
Heck yeah. Oh, every year.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. And I just love the local artisans in general and just being able to support what they have going on, even all the way down to Ian and his stuff and him selling earrings. I think it was just a flawless event in a lot of ways, but I'm excited to see it grow also.
Yeah, I want to expand on Ian's. His table is always packed.
Popular.
Yeah, and it's amazing. What do you call them?
The insect
displays.
Mm-hmm.
are fantastic. And like kids love that so much, but like it's interesting. I can just sit there and just kind of go through all that stuff, but very popular. Yeah, every year.
And when you put his table next to Treatem and they're like talking about permaculture,
yeah,
that's our section right there that says be a good person on the planet.
Right. Yep.
It went together well. Did you purposely put people by vendors next to each other on purpose?
I tried to as much as possible, but with... We kind of laid it out in a different way this year where we did blocks. So it's like block one, block two, block. There's like five different blocks. Because last year, I think we got bogged down with having space numbers and it just made it really difficult because people are showing up at different times and you're supposed to have this space number, but that's been shifted over here. And so it was confusing. So I think the blocks worked out well, but yeah, I did try and keep Treatem. I wanted Treatem and Ian to be together. And then I wanted like all the PNV kind of displays to kind of to be in the same general vicinity. And outside of that, it was kind of like, you know, here's your block and use that space however you want, as long as there's enough room for everybody.
Wonderful.
One of our visitors said we had the right blend between products that focused on dirt and those that focused on lotion.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was curious your thoughts on the evolution of where we go next. I know you're our longest consultant here, and so you've got to see a lot of changes and growth within Project New Village, and I know you probably can see the future a little bit, at least what you hope, and things that can be improved. I'd love to hear from you both. What is Project New Village? What are the next moves for us that excite you?
Well, I think that we are a grassroots organization that's moving out of that destination. We still do grassroots efforts, but our team is bigger, our budget is bigger, our aim is bigger. So we're moving to a more middle-sized organization. And our desire and our vision, we're getting closer. You know, we've talked earlier about this capital campaign, so we're learning a lot about fundraising, avenues to do that. And I'm most excited about this village. I've never had the chance to work with an architect and a design team and a very, very competent team manager that's doing the construction work. It's all coming together on that end. You know, we are responsible for raising the dollars, but we've assembled some excellent people to work with. And when they share, it even gives you more motivation to get the money because everything else is in place. The team is in place. We own the property. We see ourselves going in the next month or so, getting the permits necessary to do the building. The only hole it seems that we have at this point is the money. So we're learning more how to go about getting money, particularly in what we're now calling these uncertain times. Some of the things have cut off in terms of resources we can use, but we're looking at things opening up. And other folks are doing different types of seminars to bring people together so that you could look at sharing, you know, doing some co-branding and some co-ownership. So there's a lot of possibilities, and I want to explore most of them to see if we can get to our goal.
So should the funding come in and these walls get put up and this village is in place and the community can access it, what are you hoping that this provides to your neighbors?
Well, it's a place where you can actually go and eat, celebrate, grow, distribute good food. And all the benefits folks who live here. You know, the benefits of working hard, the benefits of eating good and eating that what you grew and what our neighbors grow. It's an opportunity to see ourselves differently. in our neighborhood, when the news comes in, a lot of time we hear all the negative things about where we live, whether they are true or not. This is what we hear on different media. We get a chance to witness firsthand the goodness of the people that we work with and the good that comes from working together. Mm-hmm. And this will truly be a community-owned operation here in southeastern San Diego. The Good Food District is a little bit bigger than southeastern San Diego, but that's because of our geography and the stores that we share together. So this not only benefits us, but those communities just around southeastern San Diego. That's why we called it the Good Food District. It's where we want to see the impact. It's where we want to have the investment.
That's our soundbite right there. Mm-hmm. I was hoping you wouldn't. I was like, I didn't want to interrupt. That was beautifully said. Put that over a video, and that is it. Beautifully said. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jason? You can talk about the future of Project New Village or the podcast or things we hope to do next. I'm curious.
You know, just to kind of jump on the village, piggyback on that idea, the one thing that I am, that fills me with joy just thinking about this project being done is that it is so community focused, so community informed. Every step of the way, everything that's being done has the right, it's for the right reasons, you know, and everyone's voice being heard so that it's being done in a way that it's not a grocery store coming in and there's no displacement. There's no just, we're going to sell this because it makes money or this. I mean, everything about it is just community driven. And you don't see that very often. So as far as my role and things that I'm very excited about, there's so many good things happening. My role is really the storytelling aspect of making sure this journey is heard. And as far as the, like, if I were to put that in context of the podcast, like I hope that this journey that we're on in making this food hub and having these growing spaces, rooted resources, community rising, like all these things culminating into this good food district. This is a story that I think appeals to so many different people in so many different regions, because what we're doing here is, you know, this is something that could be replicated. And hopefully as we go along, we can kind of make this into a thing that can be, you know, used, a tool, if you will, in any region that might, you know, face some of the same challenges that we have in southeastern San Diego. And that to me is a story, and it's a good story. And so far, you know, it's a compelling story. You know, this ride is, that's one thing I love about the work is that it's always, it's something different. It's something new that you're learning, you're experiencing, and then a new challenge that you have to face and then overcome and then move on to the next. And it really keeps you moving. But that's what I would like for the podcast as well, is to be able to detail that and tell that story.
Wonderful. Unless we want to keep going, I did have a question. I wanted to pivot. I wanted to know a little bit about Jason. People don't really know much about you. And I think the conversations I've had about you, you're a deep man, you are a caring individual, and you're really passionate and talented. So who are you outside of a person who works for Project New Village?
I don't know if all those things are true, Brandon.
We do. We know you're a good guy.
You know, to be honest, like my background is so far, I feel like I've had two lives. And I don't know how deep you want me to go into. I spent most of my life traveling, and I was playing music at the time. And, you know, we did a lot of touring and stuff like that. And throughout that whole time, you know, I was married and we had wanted to start a family. So once we had kids, it very much made it difficult to keep traveling like we were. So I was still playing music, but we decided that it wasn't going to, you know, it's not sustainable to do all that type of touring and traveling. So I was more rooted here in San Diego. So I was still doing different jobs, but graphic design was always something that I did within the band, just out of necessity, I was always doing our flyers and album art and shirts and stuff, merchandise, stuff like that. So that was just something that I already had interest in, and I was doing that on the side for people here and there, but mainly I was working other jobs. I believe I was doing construction, building houses for a long time here and there. And yeah, so the graphic design work, my wife, who I had mentioned before, was my connection to Miss Moss and PNV originally. She worked with a lot of different nonprofits in San Diego, and they always needed graphic design work. So I started kind of doing stuff like that to help with any kind of outfacing reports or, you know, even some logo work, stuff like that here and there. But I was still working odd jobs and whatnot. And with PNV, that was, I think, one of the first, like, it started with a logo and a website, and then it really developed into just a lot more challenging stuff. And I immediately connected with the work and gaining kind of an understanding of like the food justice movement and like food sovereignty. What does that mean? You know, this was all somewhat new to me, but it all was at a time where it really resonated and made sense. And there was a lot of crazy things happening at that time. And it was something that was grounding and was just like, yes, I can get behind this. So yeah, and the thing also, I feel like the parallels with, like, say, playing music and these creative outlets, like graphic design work being, you know, driven by that creative process, it translates a lot into the work that I do with Project New Village, because in that, like what we've talked about, the storytelling aspect of things, it's kind of, you have challenges, you have to really get your messaging across in a certain way. You have to have an understanding of what this is going to look like and how it's going to resonate with people. And it's also like that creative space of like, you know, sometimes with these challenges, we have to pivot on the fly and we have to come up with different creative like ways to solve problems and continue doing this work and continue our mission. And this is the kind of work that I really thrive on. You know, it can be challenging, but it's always inspiring and it's deeply satisfying.
So each podcast had a different theme, a different title. Can you tell me, Ms. Moss, a little bit about how you listed out the episodes you wanted to do and how you chose the guests?
Well, this is not our first time doing like a podcast kind of thing. And before we had guest speakers, we talked about different topics. So we went from our last previous experience and looked at what was still relevant now for us to talk about. Certainly it was food justice. At that time, we were talking about a village, these kinds of things. So those things were new. But we also, in January, got a new administration in the White House, really threw a wrench in things for nonprofits, ours in particular. You know, it changed some of the funding, cut off some of the funding. We had to re-pivot on some things. It changed some of our sessions. One of our sessions, we had a town hall meeting because we needed to check in with the people who are a part of the Good Food District to see, we know what we want to do, but how are we feeling as a community? That was directly because this term we now use called time of uncertainty, how are we gonna flourish, right? So I think it had a lot to do with the partnerships that we already have. You know, we celebrate and put a lot into Earth Day in April, so we had to talk to Treat'em, right? This year, we talk a lot about George Washington Carver and his contributions to agriculture, so we had to include that in our messaging, right? So I think we looked at those things that were topical, that were important to the Good Food District, but also from the greater environment, and that is the things that were happening at the federal level and at the state level. How was it impacting us, others that we work with, and who could we pull into the table to talk about that, to give voice to the issues that were important to us? So it was a month to month. You'll notice that most of our podcasts are at the end of the month because things happen and we pivot.
It has been a very holistic show. We've talked about movement with George Washington Carver, all the way down to the food union worker, and really understanding the different avenues that food affects us and the different ways that it can affect us. And we've even talked about disinvestment in the community. And I think you guys have approached this really well. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, I think that as far as being topical, it helps that we kind of fly by the seat of our pants, because then we can definitely speak to the moments that are happening in real time. But for me, like we said earlier, I think the beauty of like having partners that we work with, you know, be guests, it helps to define the good food district kind of ideal that we're talking about. And like, just to, you know, I feel like community action, resident participation, that was a good episode. And the fact that it told the story of people that are just, you know, residents that participate in, you know, food sovereignty, who are out there, you know, because it's important to them, right? And taking, you know, their stories and being able to uplift that. And one of the episodes I always like point people to if they want to learn more about the Good Food District would be, I think it was episode 4. So that's Defining the Good Food District. And that was with Sona Desai. And that was such a good conversation with her. Just the information, it was very in-depth. So if you want to get a snapshot of what we're talking about, that would be a good place to kind of go back and reference.
And Sona's not only our board chair, but the co-director for San Diego Food System Alliance. So she is an expert on regional matters relating to food. But going forward, too, I want to hear more from our constituents. I've already been what did you say? Generation something?
Generation Z?
Yeah, so some junior high school people, some high school folks, because we're starting our club over at Morris, right? The Good Food District Club at Morris. And young people have a perspective, and to hear them is sometimes very motivating, compelling. So I'm looking forward to more of that, and also more with our seniors. I look to people in their 70s and their 80s, and when people are eating right, they're engaging, and they're right here in the neighborhood. You know, we're real close to Mental Bar, so a lot of folks go there, and we're on their way, so they stop and they talk to us. But these are our constituents, right? And 80-year-old folks that are still active and have stories to tell, nothing better. I could listen all day long. Yeah,
absolutely.
That'll some great conversations would emerge, both from talking to those with some real history here in the community and hopefully in food, but also with young folks who are looking to the future, who are the future of what we do, and their experience putting their hands in the dirt and cooking and the culinary program. I think that'd be great for season 2 as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. There's a new kind of enthusiasm about growing food, cooking food with the younger Generation Z or whatever you want to say, but I think it's definitely more than like, say, myself. I'll date myself as Gen X, but you know, that was 80s kind of microwave food, right? You know, whatever's easiest. And so I'm so glad that like the younger generations now really embrace kind of, you know, growing your own food and understanding where your food comes from.
And I think that too tags with, in addition to people growing more food and getting more interested in food, we're having more relationships with chefs and people who prepare food. So I'm looking to hear their perspective in this coming year as well. We've made some good relationships, and be prepared. Some things are going to happen coming out of this, making good food and capital campaigns. Think of that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I just want to thank you guys for this. I just want to thank you both for your work and actually putting together this podcast. I think season 1 was beautiful. I think it's needed, and I think it provides an opportunity to tell our story and get our message out to San Diego and beyond in a way that we haven't been in the past. I look forward to season 2. Thank you, Jason, for all your work, design work, and really helping us encapsulate what Project New Village is even more, and getting that story out both through our newsletter, through our podcast, through our social media, and all the other ways that you honestly contribute in a way that without you, I don't know how far Project would have gone, because that is the piece, right? Yeah. We do beautiful work you, Ms. Moss, and the whole team. But it also doesn't matter if people don't know we exist and they don't see us. So your work is vital, and I'm just thankful for everything you both do.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on the team, and thank you for putting me on this side of the microphone. So
thanks for agreeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get our merchandise, it's all that logo has all been done by Jason, and it goes back to our food truck and feeding the community. So thank you again for that as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.